Well, I know that it's the season of the year when we tend to pick songs that have to do with the season, and so it's not really such a surprise that everything went together so well. But I still kind of feel like the Lord maybe had a hand in seeing that that things kind of went together the way they did today. The songs that were picked just kind of going right together with what we're going to talk about today. Before anybody knew what was going to happen. So the Lord had a tendency to work that way. We're going to run through a lot of scriptures. Not going to read very many of them, but you may want to write some of them down if you're interested. But I just want to start right out by reading from Matthew chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. Matthew has just been describing some of the circumstances around the birth of Jesus. Of course, you get more of the story in Luke. But he says, "Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us." That is such an amazing statement. I am just really struck by the wonder of even the beginning of what God did. In a few months, we'll talk about what he did at the cross, and maybe a little bit today, but we're talking about the Almighty God here. And the infinite God, how is it? I titled the message today, "When God Was Born." How is it that a being that is all-powerful and infinite, has no beginning and no end, was born? It's a pretty amazing thing. And every step of the process was told beforehand so that when it happened, we could see it and believe, so that his people that he spoke to, his chosen people, could see it and believe. Almighty God came to earth as a man. And it's important that we understand that. Two things that we need to understand about Jesus: his humanity and his deity. Because without either one, we have an incomplete picture of who he was, and we have an incomplete understanding and an incomplete foundation for the faith that we hold dear. David asked me to sing, and I'm going to do, hopefully, planning to do "Mary Did You Know" next week. Because that song just captures for me the immensity of what happened. Have you thought about it very much? This is Almighty God, creator of the universe. A helpless, and I know the song says no crying, but he cried, because that's the only way that a baby's got to let you know he needs something. A helpless, newborn baby who has to cry to get its needs met is Almighty God of the universe.
Amen.
Isn't that just amazing? There's nothing that we can compare it to. I've tried in the past to compare it to, well, would you, if all the dogs in the world were in peril, would you go be a dog so that you could save them? I don't know, there might be a few people who might. What about an ant? That might be closer. That might be closer to the difference. But that's not how God looks at us. We're not dogs or ants. We are special and beloved in his sight. And that's why he came to be one of us. But still, it's amazing. It's humbling that he would do such a thing.
Right.
Now, most people don't have a whole lot of trouble. Some do. Most people don't have a whole lot of trouble with Jesus' humanity. But I want to address that, because it is important for us to understand that he lived like us, that he faced the same problems as we do, and that he showed us how we could then overcome them. We have the story of his birth and his growing up detailed for us in Luke. Verses 1 through 20 gives us a little more understanding of how he was born. Then we read a little bit further in this in Luke chapter 2. And we see the story of the temple. And it seems that even Jesus couldn't get away from having a misunderstanding with his parents. But of course, what it says after that is amazing to me even still. It says that he remained in subjection to his parents. The Almighty God of the universe remained in subjection to his parents. He lived here just as we would, to show us how we ought to live. He had physical needs, just like we do. Matthew, in the story of the temptation, tells us that he got hungry. We read in the story of the woman at the well, and in the story of the crucifixion in John 4:7 and John 19:28, that he got thirsty. He needed rest. In Matthew, he needed sleep. And apparently, he was one of those people that could sleep anywhere, because in Matthew chapter 8, we find him asleep in the middle of a storm, in the middle of the lake. And then in John 4:6, again, the story of the woman with the well, we find that he's weary from the journey. He experienced life just the way that we do. He had human relationships just like we do. He had friends. John chapter 11 tells us that he loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And there's something interesting about that story. It catches my eye every time. That's not the crux of what I want to say today, so I won't spend much time there, but it catches my eye every time I see it. It says that he loved Lazarus, and so he stayed 2 more days after he heard he was sick. Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting?
Amen.
And you would expect it to say he loved Lazarus, so he jumped up and ran as fast as he could to get there. Mm-hmm. No, he had an even greater purpose. And because he had an even greater purpose, because he loved him, he stayed 2 more days. And he had special relationships with people. He even had, I'm making up this word, it's not put this way in Scripture, but it appears that he had a best friend in John the disciple. He had a special, we do know that he had a special relationship with John, because John tells us about it. Tells us about it in John chapter 13:23, and there's a couple of other places later on where he calls himself the disciple that Jesus loved. But we know that Jesus loved all of his disciples, right? So there had to be something special about this relationship that he was pointing out.
Amen.
We also know that he cared for his mother. There's a story in John 19. Again, as he's on the cross. And here he is suffering in agony, and he makes sure that John takes care of his mother. Again, a sign of that special relationship. We know that he felt pain. We know that he felt emotional pain. We know that he felt the physical pain of the crucifixion. We also know that he was tempted. Matthew tells us that, as well as elsewhere in the Gospels. And we just heard from Jay last week, from Hebrews 4:12, how he was tempted in all places, at all points like we are, except he did not sin. So, Jesus lived here as a human being. We don't have a lot of trouble with that. Where we get into more trouble, and where a lot of false religions attack Christianity, is in the idea that he is also God. So what if he isn't God? I mean, I don't know how any human being could have done what he did. But what if he isn't God? Well, we've got a problem if he isn't God. You can throw out the Old Testament for one thing, because what did we just read? Isaiah prophesied that he was going to come and that he was going to be God with us. So it's not true. So throw that out. And you got to throw out the New Testament too, because everything's based on Jesus. And it starts out with the story of Jesus. And if Jesus wasn't telling the truth, and he said that he was God, he said, I and the Father are one, his claims aren't true, well, then we've got a problem, don't we? Our whole faith is falling apart. If Jesus isn't God, then we can't trust him. And our faith has no foundation. But we know that Jesus is God. We know that Jesus is Lord. We know that he was Lord from the beginning of creation. And if we have any doubt, I'll give you some scripture now to help you when people come and say these things to you. Let's start with John. John chapter 1, right at the beginning. John doesn't give us the whole story of his birth, but he tells us perhaps the most important thing about him. He says, in the beginning was the Word. This is talking about Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Amen.
And he was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. And if you move a few verses down to verse 14, he then says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is such a problem that the Jehovah's Witnesses had to come up with their own translation of the Bible so that they could retranslate this verse and put A in there and have it say the Word was a God. Because otherwise, it invalidates their whole religion. I'm sure there's some other places where they had to have done that too. But he said that he was God. He said in chapter 8 of John, the Jews were challenging him. And he said some things about Abraham, and they challenged him, and they said, oh, you've seen Abraham, have you? And he said to them, before Abraham was born, I am. Now, what was he saying there? A while back, we talked about the names of God and what God's name means. What he was saying there is, I am. In other words, I'm God. Then in chapter 10, he's talking in verse 30, and he puts it a different way. And he says, I and the Father are one. And the Jews understood exactly what he was saying because they tried to stone him. So what do we do with this information? What can we do knowing that Jesus lived as a man and he was God and is God? Well, for one thing, it should build up our faith. That means if Jesus is who he says he is, that means we can trust in everything that he said.
Amen. That's right.
If he is who he says it is, and if he lived here as we live, then it means that we can follow his example. It means that we can look at the things that he said and did. We can look at the instructions that he gave us, and we can know how to live our lives. He showed us the way. He showed us the way and how that he lived, in the things that he did, things that he taught, the way that he gave himself. He showed it even in his death.
Amen.
He said, take up your cross. He said, no one has greater love than that he lay down his life for his friends. And he showed it in his resurrection. Because he is the giver of life. Yes.
yes, we have to lay down our lives. But see, that's not where the story ends. When we lay down our lives, we get His life in return.
Right.
And that's a really good deal.
Amen.
He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. And in this, during this time, when we're celebrating His coming into the earth, I hope that we can retain in our minds the wonder of what happened and just be thankful for everything that He did while He was here. And that's really all I have to say today. I don't think I've been very long, but I guess nobody minds that particular. But I'm going to say a prayer and then... If this doesn't make any sense to you, or if there's anybody who needs prayer or needs something to get right with the Lord, by all means, we're available. We'll have a time of invitation. Oh, we're supposed to imitate Christ, right? Praise God. Lord, thank You. Thank You so much for what You did. Thank You for setting us that example of ultimate humility for the Almighty God of the universe to come and walk among us and give Yourself for us in the way that You did. Lord, may our hearts be pierced through by that, and may we be motivated and moved to be as You were on this earth and to draw others to You and to love them in the way that You have loved us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.